Whew, 5 p.m. on Wednesday. Time for American.
Is your microphone working today?
Let's find out. I'm on this one. No, I'm on this one.
They're both working.
So I'll just use one of them.
There you go. Unless that one goes out, in which case you have a backup.
Sorry about the distraction there. You see, what's happened is the past couple of weeks I've come in and for some reason my microphone was not functional. I think 2 weeks in a row. Anyway, Wednesday, 5 p.m. Thank you so much for tuning in and joining us. Time for American Hit Radio. We're back to our normal work week situation here. I don't know if you tuned in last week, but we did our Wednesday fundraiser for the American Hit Radio show. I wanted to thank everybody personally who did.
A big heartfelt thank you very much.
Exactly, from both
of us. Muito obrigado.
We really do appreciate
muchas gracias.
Whatever you can do for WHPC,
merci
especially
beaucoup.
when you mention American Hit Radio. Makes us feel good to know that we're loved and that the station is really good to know that we've got listeners who care for the show. So it matters. If you missed and you want to do something about it, you can still call, 516-572-7438. Tell them you're an American Hit Radio listener. And all the money is going completely 100% to the station. So that's that. But we're not going to do fundraising right now. We are going to be covering an album as we normally do on Wednesdays. If you're a regular listener, you know that Heidi and I have been working our way through two lists, counting up through time. We started in January of 1964, and we're working toward the present. We've got 500 albums that never made the top 40. That's our alternative top 40. We then compounded it to another 500 when we added the top 500 of the top 40 list, which gave us 1,000 albums to cover, which is a lot of albums, a lot of music. The other thing that we also did was in the interim, I also compiled a bunch of albums going all the way back to 1955. So at some point in time, I'm going to stop wherever I'm at and go back to 55 and up to 64. I may do that at the end. I may wait till then, or I don't know. We'll see. I'm not worried about it. But as I said, we started in January of 64, and we are presently up to April of 1973. And we ended the last album show that we did, if you recall, was when we did it 2 weeks ago, was a sleeper album, an album that's so much of a sleeper that it's like a little bit of a Rip Van Winkle of sleeper albums. It was by an artist named Paul Kelly from
yes.
March of 1973, an album that did not chart. And I was so happy to play it because it is a great, great record that really virtually nobody knows. And when I was playing that record, I kept mentioning about how it had a tremendous amount of similarities to the biggest soul artist of that time, which was Al Green. And I just thought it was incredible that Al Green could be one of the biggest soul artists of all time, and here's Paul Kelly and being absolutely, totally neglected. Well, here's to make the point, that's exactly who we're covering today. Al Green is our subject. And the album at hand is his sixth studio album. It's called Call Me. And it's pretty much considered to be maybe the best album of his career. His masterpiece. I'm not exactly sure if I would call this his masterpiece. I would say it's one of his masterpieces. I think that would be more likely. Al Green appears on our top 500 of the top 40 list four times. So that's four albums that I would say would rate as masterpieces. And yet I wonder if that's enough. His influence on soul music in the 70s was so profound that it's almost impossible to overrate Al Green's work. Call Me is seen as his masterpiece, but if you listen to I'm Still in Love with You or Al Green is Love in succession, you'll see that picking a best Al Green album is not an easy task. Call Me rates because it features three hit singles. The title song, Call Me, Here I Am, Come and Take Me, and the glorious You Ought to Be with Me. and a few others that should have been singles. The album's stature is strengthened by the predictably great songwriting, but also his choice of covers. Green's versions of Hank Williams' I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry and Willie Nelson's rueful Funny How Time Slips Away prove that Ray Charles did not corner the market on soulful interpretations of country music. Add to that the album's closer, Jesus Is Waiting, which is Green's first outright gospel recording, and you get a glimpse of what lies ahead. Pardon the old school vinyl reference, but you could drop the needle anywhere on any of Green's 11 70s albums and find yourself lulled into submission. But if most critics point to Call Me as his best work, who am I to argue? So let's get down to it. It's an amazing album. It's something that I love. I even brought in my vinyl copy for inspiration, and man, it is worn out.
And rightly so.
This has seen
some action.
A lot of turntables, a lot of action.
Household.
This record. I mean, Heidi and I listen to Al Green. I would say really probably the most listened to artist, would you think?
Yes, it's my favorite sing-along.
Is it? Yeah, I know it's up there for you, and I'm not sure if it's the thing that we play the most, more than almost any other artist, but I think it is.
It's my Sunday go-to music.
Yeah, there's something about playing an Al Green music when you're around the house. It's just so warm and compassionate, and it just feels like home. And so let's get started. Speaking of home, that's the opening track of the album, is one of the singles, Call Me, Come Back Home.
Beautiful time we had together. Now it's getting late and we must leave each other.
Top 40 hit for Al Green when this album came out. The title track, Call Me, Come Back Home. You know, I'm listening to that, and I hear that snare drum sound, and it always gets to me. It's just that doom, doom. It's such an unusual sound for snare. Most snares are really tight and raspy. The way they try to make sound. I mean, the difference between, say, that snare sound and what you would get if you listen to somebody like, say, Bill Bruford from Yes, is the exact opposite side of the spectrum, where that sounds almost like it's so tight that it's like the head of a pin, almost, the way Bill Bruford's snare sounds. And I personally have a very deep preference for Al Jackson Jr.'s sound. I also think that it may be Willie Mitchell deserves some credit for it, too, for the way that he has it mic'd, or maybe, but it's just a very unusual sound. And it's what makes Al Green's recordings with
unique
Willie Mitchell. Yeah, very unique and special. To the point where I think that I was going to say, you know, they almost deserve songwriting credit. And I'm looking at the album.
And
that particular song, the writing credits are Al Green, Al Jackson Jr., and Willie Mitchell. So, there is a God. It's kind of perfect that it works out that way. Now, most of the tracks, the original songs on this album, are credited exclusively to Al Green. Of course, the songs that are covers, that's obvious as well. Like I said, that song was credited to the three of them. Now, the next song has a lot to do with what Heidi and I both love about Al Green. It's not just the beautiful voice and the laid-back vibe of the music. There's also a real deep sense of empathy in his lyrics. I don't know enough about the man's personal life to comment on if he is anywhere near as wonderfully kind as he sounds in his lyrics, but on song for song for song for song, he just sounds like just the nicest person, and like somebody. He doesn't really sing about revenge or anger. He almost never goes there. It's almost always about making up, fixing things. Can I help you? You know, anything that I can do for you. You know, right down the line, let's stay together. That's what he's about. And this album, I think you'll pretty much see how that stands up as we go through it, particularly on this next track. It's called Have You Been Making Out Okay?
Okay. by today just to say how you was getting along, getting along. I want to know, can you make it on your own, baby? On your own.
If, you know, just to point out how influential this music is and how timeless it is, the album was recorded at Royal Recording Studios in Memphis, Tennessee. That was a studio that Willie Mitchell owned. And the address, I was just looking it up to see if I could find anything, information about the studio online. And they give the address, and it's on Willie Mitchell Boulevard. So right there, that tells you something. It also is claimed to be one of the oldest studios in the United States. The original theater for Royal Studios was built in 1915. It was basically right the same year that the first motion picture was shown in Memphis. What happened to be in that theater in 1915. And what was interesting is when it became a music studio, it was literally the floor had that angle to it, the pitch that you would have on a movie theater. So when you were recording, you'd sometimes get the feeling that you weren't, that you were like leaning toward the microphone or something because the floor had a slant.
They never countered that by building a subfloor?
No. In fact, apparently, I guess what ended up happening, and I mean, I don't know the exact reason, but if you go in and you are setting up a sound studio and you start recording and you get a really good sound that's not too live, not too dead, you don't play with it.
Right. Leave it alone.
Right. The last thing, that's not an easy thing to find. And apparently that must have been exactly the situation. They came in and like, wow, they had like probably a nice high ceiling. And the floor, basically, what you don't want in a studio is have where walls are exactly parallel with one another, because then you've got signals that bounce back and forth and you get all sorts of interference. So the fact that the floor would be angled probably went a long way toward making the rest of whatever the walls were doing not quite as relevant, you know. So it's a good thing about that.
Except for when your piano starts rolling away from you.
Yeah, exactly. If it's on wheels, you got trouble. All right. So a little bit more about the studio, I suppose I could tell you about it. When it first opened up, it opened up as the home of High Records. And it was originally known as the House of Instrumentals because it was doing mostly a lot of like Bill Black combo, and people like that would go in and record a lot of instrumental tracks. But it was Willie Mitchell who changed the musical direction of High Records from rockabilly and instrumentals to R&B. And that is also a main reason probably why it's called Willie Mitchell Boulevard now, because the Memphis sound, when you think about what is the Memphis sound, I mean, almost everybody associates it with soul music and R&B. We did an entire series here about From Memphis to Muscle Shoals that just showed how important that style was. It didn't matter if you were black or white, because a lot of the players down there, just they worked together, and it was always like most of the musicians basically were, or the studios had mixed musicians. And it was awesome because really the only place where that was happening in Memphis was inside studio walls. And High, or should say, you know, Royal was actually not much of an exception in that regard. Let's play another track from this wonderful album called Call Me, Al Green's sixth studio album. By the way, Jeff, I didn't mention, it went to number 10 on the pop charts back in 1973.
The Billboard pop charts?
Yes, the Billboard Top 40. It was number 10 after its release. But this next track is called Stand Up on 90.3 WHBC.
up.
One of the sleeper tracks from the album. It's nothing that really got much airplay, but I mean, this is that sort of album where with the songs that you don't know, you realize as you're playing the album, that could have been a hit. You know, Stand Up certainly qualifies. The other thing is we were talking about Memphis just before we broke for that song, and I think it's really important. It got me to thinking about the South and how important the South is in terms of the development of American music. Think about this in this one small area where Memphis is, and this is the type of music that is coming out of Memphis, this R&B and soul music virtually invented there in Memphis. Now, just a few hundred miles south of Memphis is New Orleans, which is where jazz was born. Already, wow, you're right. Think about this. It's the Mississippi River basically connecting them. Now move just a couple hundred miles to the east, and you're in Nashville. All the music that was coming out of Nashville.
Centrally located.
Right, so you got the heart of country music there. And then you think of all the other music around the Mississippi Delta for the birth of the blues and everything else that was happening. This is all going on within that small circle, that little section of the United States. So much of our American culture, in musical culture, has come from that specific area. And in a lot of ways, Memphis became the center of it. By 1973, I believe it was, for when this album came out. So let's keep playing. Since we're talking about the overlap of styles and the geography, the proximity of geography, perhaps it makes sense that Al Green would cover a Hank Williams song on this album. And here is his version of I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry.
Did you hear that lonesome whippoorwill? He sounds too good to fly. That midnight train winding low, I'm so lonesome I could cry. Did you ever see a night so long when time goes crawling by? So lonesome, I feel like I could cry, I could cry. Oh, I'm lonesome, I could cry. Did you see, ever see a robin weep when leaves begin to die? Well, yeah, that means he's lost the will. I'm so lonesome, I could cry if you'd let me cry. I said it with folded arms and I could cry. The silence of falling starlight up a purple sky. Oh, and as I wonder I'm so lonesome, I could cry. Oh, and as I wonder where you are, I'm so lonesome, I could cry. Oh, if you let me, oh, no. Somebody needs to just walk on in and ask. I wonder where you are. I'm so lonesome, I could cry. I stand here, I feel like I could cry.
You get a really good sense of how incredibly smoothly Al Green worked with his producer, Willie Mitchell, on a track like that, which is, like Heidi was just saying, this is a total reinvention of the Hank Williams song. And of course, she's right. I mean, they between the two of them, they came up with an arrangement that turned it into an Al Green song. It sounded like perfectly like an Al Green song. I mean, if you didn't know that it had country roots, then you really wouldn't need to. And Willie Mitchell has got quite the experience. I mean, it's not just like he's an engineer and a producer. He had a band that had some of the best jazz players in it at one time or another. He had people like Phineas Newborn Jr., Charles Lloyd, all the people who eventually would become stars in their own right, Booker Little, Frank Stosier, George Coleman, and Louis Steinberg on bass, Al Jackson Jr. on drums. So they became one half of Booker T and the MGs. Right? So, you know,
it's pretty amazing.
Right. So Al Jackson, again, you know, that his drumming is just, you know, it's so understated and I can't compliment it enough. It's just so great to hear a drummer that doesn't need to play anything more than the song demands. Let Al Green talk a little bit himself about his own style, and then we'll get to what would be the last track on side one, a song called Your Love is Like the Morning Sun, a song that Al Green wrote. So let's hear from Al for a little bit.
Well, I took what I learned from the rock and roll, the ingenuity, the class, the charisma, the steps, the movement, the hesitation, the wait, to be curious, very curious, to create an atmosphere of curiosity, to be, yes, you take all of this that you learn in pop, rhythm and blues, and you use it to your best advantage, but it doesn't give you the fire. You can't create the charisma for fire. Either you have the fire or you don't have the fire, the spiritual fire.
Just want to remind you that you're listening to American Hit Radio on 90.3 WHBC. Tom Ryan, your host, Heidi Morales Ryan, my lovely wife and co-host here as well. And with you for the remainder of the hour, we're at the halfway point now, a little bit past it, and we're playing our way through Al Green's wonderful album, Call Me. Now, if you ever wanted, I'd be a tough person if you were going to ask me what I think is the best Al Green album. But as we said earlier, I think the critical consensus is that this very album is it. But you're going to be hearing from us playing Al Green a couple of other times. I think we played one already. This is album number two that we've covered, and there's two more to come. And the two that are remaining are two of my all-time favorite albums. So it's kind of fun to know that we've got these things to look forward to as we move forward. But speaking of moving forward, we can flip over the vinyl album at this point in time. I mentioned that the album has three top 40 hits on it. Well, here's what was the second top 40 hit, a song that's credited to Al Green and Teenie Hodges, but it's his guitar player. It's called Here I Am, Come and Take Me. Second top 10 hit single that we've played so far from the album Call Me by Al Green. The title track was also a top 10 pop single. Call Me went to number 10 on the pop charts, and Here I Am, Come and Take Me repeated that exact number again, a number 10 hit. So both of them there. They were of the three singles from this album, as far as soul charts, two of them went to number two. One of them was a number one hit. So we're talking about three songs that are top two, number one or two hit singles on the R&B charts at this point in time. And again, I was mentioning how the logistics or the proximity of Nashville and Memphis, and it obviously did not go unnoticed by Al Green or by his producer, Willie Mitchell, because they chose a second country song, this time a song written by Willie Nelson, to put on the album, Al Green's version of Funny How Time Slips Away. I should note here, by the way, on almost every Al Green album, there's one song that he loves to put on the album, which is like a 6-8 feel, a very slow. Like, have you ever heard his version of How Can You Mend a Broken Heart?
Right.
It's just, you know, that's just one example. There's always this interim of, or the Kris Kristofferson song, Help Me Make It Through the Night. Same sort of thing. There's like one per album where he just really brings it down. And this is the song on this album where he does that. Funny. Willie Nelson's Funny How Time Slips Away.
Told you in time, in time. want you to know. Just remember, remember what I told you. Time and time.
My dog, Roma, is a Doberman Pinscher who's trained by the police department. He's very good, but he won't bite a single soul out there, I promise you. I'll keep him back. People ask me about how I come about singing the way I sing, the way I sang, and how I come about acting the way I act on stage, because I act peculiar on stage. I do. I act peculiar to me on stage. And the reason for that is that I learned to try to adapt freedom into the show and freedom into the minds of the people, you know? And that's why I act the way I want to act on stage and hoping, like the world, that it's suitable for all of the minds of the people that came out to visit with me. And I find that out of 99.999 times, out of 10, you'll find that the things that you do are trademarked after you, and so people are getting somewhat accustomed to you being the way you are, and they accept you into their homes and into their hearts as you are. And so my style came about by listening to people like Sam Cooke, who's my favorite singer. I used to sneak in Jackie Wilson records into the house and get a spanking. Well, a killing from my dad, you know, because we had a spiritual group, see, and he didn't want us to be introduced so hurriedly to that kind of music, you know. So I used to sneak these records into the house, the baby workout albums and things on Jackie Wilson, and my dad used to hang us. But from that point, I learned control and what have you from these people, control and stride and length of songs and how to coordinate and build constructively songs from people like that. Of course, Nat Cole was a big influence on me too. And some of the other great, phenomenal stars that landslided the minds of the people into music. You could go on in reference to stars. That was an influence on me, because I used to try to sneak and listen to everybody.
Sit right down and talk to me about
Well, this has been great. I hope you enjoyed hearing Al Green's Call Me album in its entirety. There's one track left. We'll just get right into it. This is, like I said, a harbinger of Al's future. He ends the album with a song called Jesus is Waiting. So thanks for listening, folks. We'll be back on Friday, of course, and we'll see you next week again.
Broken down, Jesus is waiting. Oh, yeah. Ah, don't let yourself down. Yeah. Standing right there behind you, helping you to make up your mind. Yeah, yeah. Jesus is waiting. Oh, do I have to say it again? Say it again. I think I wanna say it again. Say it again. Jesus is waiting. Yeah, yeah. Talking about you've got a friend. One that believes in love, can't you see? Only salvation, only salvation, yeah. Understand me, Jesus is waiting.
me said, help me, 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 help me. I want you to help me, and I'll help you. I'll save my soul, and I'll save some for you. And I'll do my best to do what I can to stand up and be a menace. I just want everybody to know that Jesus is waiting. Jesus is waiting. Jesus is waiting. Jesus is waiting. I wish the band would just bring it. Bring it. Way, 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 way. Yeah, I remember that I could say that I've been a fool, disregarding your love. Yeah, but I wanna say this evening that I'm sorry, 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 sorry. Yeah.
You've been good to me. You've been good to me. You've been good to me.
Thank you, 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 thank you,